we've decided we're going to kind of do an express podcast because, well, one of the cameras died on us, one of the batteries. But you're Will Grassoff,
yep.
And you're a recruitment legend. And I want you to tell me what's next for the recruitment industry. What's the big news? What's going to happen next?
Crikey. Well, it's very kind of you to call me a legend. I'll give you the £20 later. crikey, what's next? I think we're going to see a lot more processes in the recruitment kind of process done remotely. A lot more utilization of tech. So lots of video stuff. I think the CV is going to become increasingly redundant. I think people are going to be asked to use video as a way of introducing themselves as opposed to a CV.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's going to be a lot fewer agencies in the future.
You think there's going to be a natural cull just because they're not going to be able to adapt to this new way of working?
I don't think there will be as much low-hanging fruit as there has always been. And I think there's a lot of agencies who've relied on the low-hanging fruit to get by.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough, you know, I get that. But I think going forward, there's going to be a lot more challenges, and I think a lot more clients are going to have access to the tools that we've had access to, which has almost been kind of like, you know, well, you know, we can use them, but you can't, you know, what you're doing, you know, so advertising and stuff like that. And I think there's going to be a lot more expertise out there for people to kind of call on in order to recruit themselves. So I think the ultimate goal is to not use agencies and to recruit people to recruit for themselves, but yeah, that requires a certain amount of expertise still. And I think that's going to be out there in the form of YouTube videos, podcasts, and other stuff.
What would you say? You've probably given this out a lot, this advice, but let's say I was a candidate and you're introducing me. What are your top five tips in an interview? The things that fundamentally I need to nail if I'm going to get the job?
Crikey, five. Okay, so first and foremost, make the other person like you. Right, or maybe I should phrase it better. Don't do things that make people dislike you. So you don't want to go in and be arrogant, cocky, rude. You know, manners go a long way. So going in, you know, looking at someone in the eye and introducing yourself in a polite respectful manner goes a long way.
Yeah,
it's amazing how many people can go to an interview and kind of neglect all of that stuff and just completely forget their manners, completely forget that they're actually meeting another human being for the first time, and just come across really rude. So first of all, yeah, have some manners, be respectful, be likable. Secondly, do your research, know what you're going into.
Yeah,
so you know, that goes beyond just looking at the company website and saying, oh yeah, you were founded in 1978, it's a family business, all that. I think going, you know, scratching below the surface a bit more, knowing stuff that maybe the interviewer wouldn't necessarily expect you to know. So really surprising them. Thirdly, ask questions. Interviews are a two-way thing.
Mm.
You know, it's not just a one-way process. It's
you're,
for you.
You're interviewing the employer.
Yeah, you are.
Because actually, like, you don't want to just kind of throw yourself into a... Like, money is money,
yeah.
Right? That's an important reason. But it's so much more than money,
yeah.
Right? It's about the culture that you're going into. It's about how you're going to brand your own self in the employment market. It's about whether that job will give you access to the next ring in the ladder. And I don't think, I think you're right. People don't think about that,
no.
Do they?
So I'm there to be subservient and to, you know, almost like beg for, please give me a job, please. Whereas actually, I think it's for both parties to walk away saying, yeah, I'd love to work for that person.
Mm.
I'd love to work with that person. Or that's not for me. That wouldn't be right. I couldn't see myself working there every day.
Mm.
And but yeah, people do forget that interviews are a two-way thing.
Yeah.
So fourth... Crikey, I should probably have prepared for this. So I'd say fourth...
Is it being prepared for interviews?
How ironic. How fucking ironic. Fourth, I would say optimise your kind of your CV and your experience to that role. Now, that doesn't mean be disingenuous. It just means make sure that the side of you that you're showing to the potential employer is the side that they want to see, you know. So if you have experience in a particular area and you really want to emphasize that, make sure you do that. Make sure you have scenarios and make sure you have examples of times where you have, you know, from a competency perspective, perform that role and how you've done it and how you've excelled at it.
Yeah.
Have those examples ready and kind of, you know, planned through in a coherent manner. The final piece of advice for anyone who is going to interview anytime soon would be to, bearing in mind most videos, I think for a long while are going to be done on video, make sure that you have a good video environment to perform interview. Mm-hmm. So you have a good microphone, you have good speakers, you have good lighting,
mm-hmm.
you have a good quiet environment with a good connection and good quality camera, so they can, you can literally present yourself in the best possible way. I've done loads and loads and loads of interviews over video in the last kind of 9 months, and some of them it's just like, you know, and it's just incoherent and
dial-up speed interviews.
Yeah, it's so frustrating, and I get frustrated when I'm on the phone, and you know, it's in and out of connection.
Yeah.
So I think making sure that you're in an environment which is, you know, kind of presents you in the best possible light, you know, sometimes quite literally, is important as well.
And that was what that was actually what well, we've done two of these podcasts. You're our first and lovely guest that we're we're planning to build it around personalities and personalities in business, and trying to take some insights and package them up for, you know, for other professionals in business environments that they can use to good effect, you know, in their day-to-day lives. But the first one was about just that. It's about, you know, how to create a video, whether that is a video interview or whether it's, you know, a marketing video for your company, or whether it's a vlog on YouTube, whatever it might be. And this, the other one was actually the studio environment versus the home environment. But actually, you've got to create or think like you're in a studio if you're at home.
Yeah.
Because ultimately, it's a little bit like the paper you write a CV on, and your punctuation, and you know, if your ink's slightly faded or it managed to catch a few drops of water and you hand it in, it's a bit, you know, crinkled. That actually, in a weird kind of way, reflects on associations they might make about you.
Yeah.
If you've not pulled the curtains behind you, and then you're all kind of, you know, overexposed, and then like the cat's jumping on the desk, and then you forgot the kids are coming home in that second. It's like, that's kind of planning.
Yeah.
And it's kind of about presentation. And, you know, it could be taken as like an anomaly, but actually people don't. It's a space where you're inviting people to evaluate you.
Yeah, I completely agree. And you've got to kind of forgive people for certain elements. Like, you know, we're not forced, you know, well, we've been forced into a position where you're having to do stuff from home, but making sure you do it and you present yourself in the best possible light. And you're right, you know, you're there to be evaluated, and there's, kind of as cutthroat as that sounds, it's important you get it right, and you know, you do present yourself in the best possible way.
So technology and recruitment, so that is going to be used to greater effect. I think that goes across multiple industries. What, looking at it from a slightly different perspective, a company's going to automate human beings' roles. Is that something that we're going to see anytime soon? So, you know, we're talking about maybe not jobs that are very specialized, but ones which are kind of a lower skilled, lower entry point. You know, I'm thinking kind of Amazon warehouse here. Mm. Is that drying up, or are we far away from that?
I think there's probably a lot more automation than people realize in terms of, you know, everything. The amount of stuff that's being done by kind of AI and robots is probably a lot more prevalent than we may like to think. So, you know, I suppose in the recruitment process, you know, we utilize lots of tech, which makes our life easier. You know, we try and take away as much of the kind of low value tasks as we can, and we concentrate on the high value task, which is usually speaking to people. You know, now there's a lot of things you can't replicate. One of them being the kind of the human interaction, you know, the physically sitting with someone, or, you know, sitting in front of someone on Zoom or Teams and having that conversation and reacting in real time and creating answers which are, you know, really well suited to the question that you're being asked. But there's a lot of stuff that comes before that which you can automate, and you can utilize tech And we do, you know, utilize tech to do that. A great example, and a really simple example, is responding to applicants from job adverts, right? So at the moment, people are probably making, you know, up to 30 applications a day if they're out of work. So 30 job applications, and it's unbelievable the amount of, well, percentage of people who don't hear back when they apply for an advert, right? Which is, for me, it's rude, right? If you're an agency or a company, you don't bother to respond, or you put that shitty, shitty caveat at the bottom of your advert which says, if you do not hear back within 5 days, please consider yourself unsuccessful, right? There's no excuses, right? Because there's tech out there.
That sucks, doesn't
it? It does suck massively. We use a bit of tech, right, called Logic Melon, where we get the adverts, we get the applications in, you know, for all the adverts in one place. All we have to do is click on a red flag to say, to generate an email, say to that person, you know, really, really appreciate you taking the time to apply. You're not quite right. If you want to know my reasonings, give me a shout, you know, call me, email me, and we can go through them. But otherwise, thank you very much. Good luck, right? That takes less than 40 seconds to do, right? From assessing someone's CV and clicking that red button, so that person has that closure, they know it's not right, you know, they know they're not right for it, and, you know, they can either move on or say, well, actually, hold on a minute, Will, I think you are wrong about that. I think I could do that job, or I could do it for these reasons.
So gives them a chance to challenge.
Well, 100%.
A little bit, because actually, the guy who comes back and goes, no, I do want the job, and actually, I've got some things that I didn't say first time round. That's got to count for something, hasn't
100%.
It?
100%. And what we find so often is people say, look, you know, I've made this CV because I was applying for this particular job, but actually, in my previous job, I've done this, I've done that, you know, I've done this whole raft of things, which is completely applicable for the job I've applied for. You've just seen a bad version of my CV. I've not optimized it, you know. Hands up, I should have. But, you know, can we maybe revisit it? And, you know, with that new information, we do. And, you know, we've made countless placements of people saying, I'm not quite sure I agree with your original decision. You know, can you explain it? And then, you know, they can, you know, appeal it. So, you know, that's worked really well for us.
Why don't more agencies use that? I mean, that sounds like it's so easy.
Yeah, it is. I think because they don't want to invest in the tech. You know, for us, it's £30 per month per user. So in the grand scheme of things, that's nothing. You know, considering we're you know, processing upwards of 50 applicants a day, you know, to be able to just give that closure is...
Because it's reputation, right?
Yeah, 100%.
People take away from... Because they know... I mean, do people know they're applying via an agency usually? Is it
depending on the platform they apply through most of the time. They should do. Like, you know, it should be very clear that, you know, our branding or logo is on that. But I suppose there's some places where they wouldn't necessarily know that. But even still, you know, if you're hoping to hear back a positive, you know, outcome, you should have the right to hear back the kind of negative outcome as well.
Yeah. Because ultimately it's the reputation of the recruiter, whether that's a recruitment agency or an employer. Whereas even if they don't get the job, they're going to say, do you know what? They were really open and honest with me, and they treated me really well. So if you are going to register with someone, or, you know, maybe they end up going into a HR role, you know, and or having, you know, a good relationship with a HR manager, and then they're saying, well, you know, has anyone got any ideas who we could go to? And I had a really good experience with this agency.
Well, we had that exact scenario. So where we rejected someone for a job, obviously they received email and said, look, thank you, but unfortunately you're not right. You know, if you want some feedback, let us know. They called us up, you know, we gave the feedback, and we're like, I really love that approach. You know, I'll remember that. And in the future, you're the kind of company we want to work with. 3 or 4 months down the line, get a phone call. Oh, hi, Will, it's so-and-so from so-and-so. I need to recruit for my team now. You know, can you give us a hand? So, of course I can, you know, with pleasure. And, you know, so it's kind of about playing the long game, really, and knowing that all the good stuff you put out will come back to you eventually one day as well.
What are you, I'm going to go off topic here completely, what are you watching on Netflix at the moment?
The Crown.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you know what? Is that, I know nothing about it. How far away from Downton Abbey is it?
Quite a way, I think. I mean, obviously, this is based around a royal family, so I suppose, you know, it's probably a few eras after Downton Abbey.
Is it? If you like Downton Abbey, would you immediately like The Crown?
Not necessarily. I mean, I'm not a massive Downton Abbey fan. And the crown is good, but if you have an interest in the royal family, that will massively help. You'll see it's
do you have an interest in the royal family?
Not really.
How can we watch them? What's the thing that's appealed to you?
I just like... Okay, so I don't necessarily like the royal family, but I do like the whole... The prestige behind it. Like, I like the fact that there's tradition and, you know, that there's a way of doing things which they strictly adhere to. And just I suppose monarchy in its, you know, is a weird concept, right? You know, that people are born into this God-given right to be essentially worshipped, you know, and to have people who serve them. So I find that really interesting. And that kind of, I suppose... It works around that, and you realise that, you know, sometimes decisions are made which, you know, on the face of it you don't question, but underneath there is real kind of, you know, strange reasons. And you know, I'm looking forward to getting like the whole Princess Diana kind of time era.
So also it moves through the era.
So at the moment we're on the first series, and it's where our current queen, so Queen Elizabeth, has just taken power.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so it's really interesting.
Has it changed the way you perceive her? I mean, first question before you answer that is how close to reality has it been reported to be?
I think it's pretty close. I think, you know, it's, you know, as close as it could possibly be. I think there's extensive research been done to make sure it is close, but I think there is a certain artistic flair used when kind of creating the stories and the storylines.
So has it changed your opinion of the Queen?
A little bit, I suppose.
You know, in a more positive way?
I'd say. I you know, maybe she's had to make decisions, and you know, she's lived certain elements of her life which has probably been more challenging than you would assume. And you know, there's obviously been a relatively large amount of tragedy in her life as well. So it's I suppose there's an element of seeing her more humanized and thinking, actually, you know, she's not just a lady on the banknotes or the coins. Who lives in the palace, she's actually, you know, a human being.
Yeah, I know what you mean about that kind of solidness about the royal family. It's like they're always there in your life, whether you kind of think about them or whether they're in the news, that it's very consistent.
Yeah.
And it's like it's an establishment.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've got social media channels, we've got, you know, we've got big tech giant companies. Our world has changed and it's fluctuating.
Yeah.
But the royal family and that institution is consistent.
Yeah, still there.
You know, and also, like, also when they go on a global stage and they're kind of representing us, you know, on a global stage, personally, I feel like that's where that's the most value. You know, when you see them, when you look at, like, I remember there was all that kind of talk about President Trump and whether he was going to get a royal visit and everything. Yeah. The fact that it really mattered to him, like the you know, the leader of the free world, whatever you think of the guy, at the time it was a case of it really mattered to him that the English royal family actually were going to allow him the opportunity. So that for me means something.
Yeah. I completely agree. You know, they're so well known across the world, and I suppose that, you know, relates back to the whole, you know, what's the word I'm trying to think of? The Confederation? No.
I don't know.
Empire? I think the Empire. Empire, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So here's one. Okay, so Harry recently left the royal family.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if he gave you a call and he said, well, you know, I've been recommended that you're the guy to talk to for recruitment, you know, in and around the Oxfordshire area and further afield, could you hook me up? I mean, how would you deal with that as a candidate?
So we actually have some clients who are, you know, like, they're not royalty, but they're probably one.
You're not going to tell me who they are, are you?
I can't. I'm signing an NDA. I can't. They're probably one step down from royalty. They will socialise with royalty. They will, you know, be very well connected with royalty. So yeah, we've done that. You know,
are they hard to place?
Yeah, very difficult. Because if a person are coming in, you know, not only do they have to, you know, be able to do the job properly, they also have to have security passes. They have to be, you know, willing to, I suppose, commit their lives to these people, you know, live in their home, you know, not have as much freedom as they would otherwise, not bring people into that kind of bubble.
So, you're talking about you have them as clients and then as in their recruiting?
So they're recruiting and I recruit for them, yeah.
Oh, I see. Okay, what if, going back to the original question, what if you were having to place Harry, Prince Harry?
Yeah.
He's like, do you know what? Obviously, I've had enough of the whole royal family thing. I want to try something new. Royal Grassoff, 007, you clearly the guys to talk to. Can you hook me up? How would you deal with him as a candidate?
So he's probably a really good candidate because he's obviously spent time in the military. So he's going to be very disciplined. He's going to be fastidious, well-spoken, well-presented, knows how to kind of position himself. He's obviously done lots of, you know, diplomatic missions. So he will have a very good, I suppose, he will represent himself very well. You know, he will know how to present himself in interviews. So he would be very placeable. So he would actually be an easy, in my opinion, candidate to play. So I can imagine him going into something like...
call centres.
Yeah. He'd be fantastic working at McDonald's drive.
Yeah.
I think he'd be very good in PR. So maybe a company who... do environmental PR or charity PR, something along those lines, where he uses his diplomacy skills to influence other people's kind of ideas and perceptions of a particular charity.
No, that's really good. That's really good. Well, I have asked loads of questions that I want to ask. We're going to have you back and we're going to try and order from the actual Mexican this time. We're not going to allow you to have just Mexican flavoured pizza. We're going to get original Mexican next time. Is there anything you want to say to our audience or the audience that we're going to find on this episode and this podcast? Anything, any kind of advice you want to impart to people who are taking a particular interest in either recruitment or in business in general?
Well, so for me, excuse me, one of the most successful things that we've done in terms of our personal PR and marketing has been doing a podcast and stuff like this, you know, getting your name out there, getting people listening to what you've got to say and getting people to know you. Because when you have those conversations, you know, those follow-up conversations, I heard you on the Flash Buzz podcast. You know, I really like what you said about this, or, you know, the Crown shit, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
And then you have those conversations. So if I was to kind of advise anyone who's thinking about it, would be to invest your time in doing podcasts and anything which gives you a platform to talk about kind of your views, your business, and, you know, in the same way that I've done. You know, hopefully people have got a better perception of me, and, you know, you can do that at home, and you can do it, you know, just using a recording on your iPhone.
Yep.
But nothing beats using kind of a, and I'm not just saying this because you've planned me with pizza and cider, but nothing beats like a professional environment, well recorded and well kind of set out and planned. So I would, you know, use your kind of marketing or your PR budget to really promote yourself by getting yourself on platforms, you know, like this. So you know, that may sound cheesy, and like, you know, you teed me up to say that, and I can promise you, you know, I've not been. But, you know, stuff like this goes a long, long way to building the brand and building your brand. And we've won a huge amount of business through doing that. So,
yeah.
So good
advice. Really good advice. Definitely. So, Will, you've been awesome. Likewise, if anyone is looking for staff, if anyone is looking to just kind of talk to someone who can guide them on a good way of, you know, running a campaign or being tactical about people, because this at the moment is a volatile time.
Yeah.
Employers are probably needing a little bit more support than they would do otherwise.
Yeah.
You know, how do they safely recruit? You know, what's the candidate base like at the moment? You know, how do you incentivize people? How do you manage people while they're all working at home? You know, those are all important things, right?
Yeah, you know, we've got exposure to lots and lots of different clients who are all going through the same thing and having those same questions as you are. So we've got a pretty well-rounded view on what works and what doesn't work. So, you know, if you want, you know, I love talking. So if you just want kind of advice, someone to bounce ideas off, then, you know, no strings attached, you know, let's have a chat. And I love sharing information. So, and I love talking. So
you do, and you're good at it. You can talk really well.
Thank you very much.
Well, we're going to have you back really soon. But for now, I've been Rob. This has been our Flashcast Flash Buzz podcast, and we'll catch you guys soon.
Thanks, Rob. Cheers.